This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living, and in the studio with us for her monthly show this new year, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, our consultant developmental pediatrician. Today our show is about children and chores. I think all of us who have children today know that our children don't do as much as we have in the past. Yeah. For some reason, something's gone wrong. But are chores still important or necessary for today's generation of children? We have Dr. Rajini in the studio. If you have a question for her, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rajini. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, Meera.
And do you think children are innately eager to help around the house, or how do we constructively nurture this interest? Because I remember if you see a three-year-old, four-year-old holding the broom and trying to help you, so excited, you think, my God, yes, this is it. They're going to be doing this, you know, in the long term. But yeah. It's not. It's absolutely not. But is it something that you feel, you know, that they are eager to do, even without us saying anything about it?
I think, you know, when you describe the three-year-old running around with a broom and, you know, pretending to dust and things like that, that's play for them. And you know, one of the first things that children start to imitate are daily routines. So if they are exposed to what we do on a day-to-day basis at home, things like chores, cooking, doing the laundry, etc., then yes, they will start to imitate that. And then it becomes play, you know, masa masa. Kids love playing cooking. Maybe less so now because maybe there are less families who are actually cooking at home. But you still see that, you know, children do seem to like these daily routine related activities, and they regard it as play. How do we nurture that? Well, I think the first thing is, play dies off when it starts to become forced or something that's taught as opposed to allowing a child to further develop that skill. So I think you can nurture some of these skills from a young age, as long as you make it part of daily life to some extent.
How important is role modeling, Dr. Rajini? I mean, if most of us have domestic help at home and we're not cooking and we're not cleaning our own floors and doing things like that, does that make a difference to how children pick up this whole idea of chores?
Well, you know, it depends how much time the child is then spending with these role models. Now, if you leave your child with the helper, you find quite often the child will pick up behaviors of that helper and even language. I mean, if you don't balance it with that child listening to language from yourselves, you find that's, you know, I know of friends and, you know, colleagues whose children maybe have a little bit of a Filipino accent or pick up Tagalog words or have a little bit of an Indonesian accent. And that's because that tells you that they're spending a lot of time with these helpers. And so if the helpers then also do these chores while they are with the children, instead of just parking the children in front of the television, then you will find children will pick some of these things up. But I think what's happening now is that helpers find it annoying when the little child is following them around, mm-hmm. and they find that, you know, it sort of slows them down. So the easiest thing is to switch on the gadget and let the child sit with the gadget while they're running around the house to do the chores which they've been assigned. So, you know, children will still role model depending on what they're exposed to.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a parent or whether it's the helper.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's what they see on a day-to-day basis.
But what kind of values do children learn from doing these chores?
Okay. I mean, if you start with young children, I mean, you may not see it as values per se, but, you know, I think of it as, okay, it's one way of training motor skills, for example. You know, if any of you have watched The Karate Kid, for example, what did Mr. Miyagi do? He didn't go straight away to teach him karate moves. He actually made him clean the car, mop the floor, clean windows, and all that in preparation before he actually taught him particular karate moves.
Because we do know that helps with gross motor skills.
Exactly,
and fine motor skills. And your balance and all of that.
Exactly. And then you also find that as they get older, it becomes a social activity as well. because if you have more than one child, a little bit of negotiation takes place. Children start to bargain with each other. You do this for me and I'll do that for you. And as they get older, you know, it becomes more of social in terms of, okay, you know, I've got my exams now. Can you do my chores? And when my exams are over, I'll do yours for you when you're working, you know, and they start to learn to give and take a little bit. So those little values you can pick up from chores as well. The other thing is, I think, you know, if we're talking about social responsibility, you know, you're talking about people taking ownership of society, how we maintain the hygiene of our roads, of our communities.
Our toilets.
It starts at home, doesn't it? And if you can't do these things at home, how do you expect then to be able to respect and use things responsibly outside the home? So I think it goes beyond just building character in the child, which I think that's also important because it gives them that responsibility. Chores are just going to be part of your life. And chores are also important if we're going to then develop children who become adults who have to live independently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a sign, because this afternoon, I found three tubs of ice cream, half-filled tubs of ice cream, sitting on our pantry table. Unless we thought it was in winter outside, I had to chuck it in the freezer. So I'm thinking, who did this, you know, and what were you thinking leaving the tubs of ice cream outside, right? Yeah. So simple. But some parents believe, and I'm guilty of this, some parents believe that it is better to get them to help out on a need-to basis or when they want to. What are your thoughts on that? So I have never told the children, every day, this is what you have to do. I've never done that. Okay. Unless I really am struggling. I'm like, look, help me with the, you know, garbage or whatever. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's good to give them certain responsibilities that it's part of their daily routine. Because, again, this is adopting responsibilities, you know. And it has to be age appropriate, obviously. You know, simple things. It can be simple things like, your responsibility, if you have an 8 or 9 year old, you're not going to expect them to be perfect at washing dishes, but you can start them off. So your responsibility is to maybe rinse all the dishes before I soap them, or you know, you rinse them after I've soaped them, or just to arrange the shoes on the rack to make sure it's not in a mess. So simple things like that, so that then that becomes part of your life. Now, I think it's also important. I don't believe so much, but maybe this is a personal thing. But, you know, I think more and more studies are showing that if you give it as a regular responsibility, children take it more seriously then, and they're more likely to do it because it's part of their daily routine. You know, the same way we're taught to brush our teeth every morning. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't adopt that habit from a very young age, you find a lot of children still don't do it when they are in school, and, you know, dental hygiene, etc., becomes a problem. So
it's as simple as making your bed.
Exactly. Right?
Some of us still don't make our bed in the morning.
So I think, especially, I mean, chores should start with things that relate to you first, you know. You know, if you talk about younger children, you know, if we say to them, make your bed, we don't expect them to make the bed beautifully, but maybe they can arrange their pillows. If they have little soft toys, they can put them in a particular way. They can maybe just pull the blanket over. It doesn't have to be extremely neat, but they go through that process, and that's part of their daily routine. Now, you know, part of our daily routine is doing homework, so why not chores as well? Mm-hmm. It's sort of homework in the home to a certain extent.
Family bonding, does it help with that?
Definitely. I think, you know, when you start to give children responsibilities, and you yourself, I mean, this is something else that we have to consider, because sometimes we make our children do chores, but we as adults leave everything else to the helper in the home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sending the wrong message. I think as parents, you have to be the role models, because I think if not, children may actually start to resent the fact that, why is it that when I come home, I have to, you know, do things like wash my own shoes, but then daddy doesn't have to polish his shoes because kaka in the house is polishing his shoes. So, you know, if dad doesn't do anything at all, children start to see, well, if he's not doing it, why shouldn't I? So I think everybody in the home needs to partake in some form of responsibility. It doesn't have to be the same chores for every child, the same chores that children do that adults do. But we can show them that we are all part of this household. We share responsibilities. I may not be polishing my shoes, but I'm tending to the garden or the cars. So that's my responsibility and I take that seriously.
But where do you draw the line and make sure that it's not too much for the children to cope with? Because I know I have a friend who, you know, wife was complaining that he does nothing at home. He doesn't want to, you know, take part or do any of the chores at home because, you know, when I asked him, what on earth are you doing? And he's like, no, my mum made me do all these chores when I was young and I don't want to do it at all anymore. Hence, I have a helper. He's like, I had to cook the rice. I had to cook sometimes before I went to school and I really don't want to do all of that. I'm done with this.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, in a sense, it's going to be different in different households. You know, I think where do you draw the line? That's a difficult one. But maybe he resents it because he was, maybe it wasn't done together as a family. And when you start to do chores, it probably has to start with an adult doing it with a child. And, you know, the best people are the parents. So when you're talking about making a bed, if you have a double bed, you can't expect a 5 or a 6-year-old to put that blanket back on properly or to fold that blanket. So they need someone else to do it. And who best but your mom? And, you know, during that time,
your dad.
Mm-hmm. And you can chit-chat about things. You can, you know, talk about other things, make it fun. When they're younger, you can sing a song while doing chores. You know, how do we get kids to clean up? Everybody sings the Barney song sometimes, don't you? And it gets them going, doesn't it?
You mean he still exists?
Well, the song does, though.
That purple dinosaur.
Purple dinosaur, yeah.
Okay. We're discussing chores and your children today with Dr. Rajini Saravanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician. If you have a question for her, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. When we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about, you know, how some of us now, and those who are who need more money, to put more money on the to help with food and putting food on the table. Some children actually go out to work with their parents. Now, is that necessarily the best thing to do? I want to come back and find out up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. It's Health and Living. Dr. Rajini Saravanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician in the studio with me. We're discussing children and chores. What's the right age to introduce chores to our children? A lot of us don't until, you know, I know some of us, when our children leave home and then we panic, my goodness, you know, she doesn't know how to put the sheets properly or, you know, she can't cook, she can't do the basic things. So are we doing injustice to our children by not introducing chores at an earlier age is what we're discussing today. You know, earlier, before we left for the break, I was talking about children helping with the family business, for an example. Very, very young children. I remember growing up in Seremban, little shops. Kids would go back after school, primary school kids, and help the parents in either the hawker stalls or, you know, in any sort of business that they were in. And you know, at that time, I couldn't quite understand. But looking back, you know, I have so much admiration for those children because they managed schoolwork, they managed the business with the parents, and they went home and they probably had chores as well to do at home. So what about children helping out in with parents and their businesses, Dr. Rajini? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think that's not wrong at all because, I mean, some people view it as child labor. Now, I don't view it as child labor. If that's a family business, your parents are working in there. I think you're better off being around your parents, seeing what they do, having that communication going on. It's a social activity to some extent. And it actually builds other skills, you know. Like you were saying, one of the things about giving children chores is that it makes them learn to manage their time better. You know, you still have your chore despite having your homework. You still have to juggle your time. Don't we all do that, Mira, now as adults?
Yes, but isn't it too hard for the children? Are we being too hard on them?
So this is where it's a little bit of give and take. You know, if you see that your kids are, you know, have a lot of homework, you can say to them, hey, I can see that you have a lot of homework. So instead of washing up all the dishes, why don't you just do the plates and I'll do the rest of it? And, you know, on other days when hopefully your children see that you are extremely busy or you are hard-pressed for time, and they'll say to you, hey, Mum, I'll do this for you today since you look busy. I mean, that's part of the process of doing chores. And in the same way, when you talk about children helping out in family businesses, that's their family life. And in some way, isn't it better for them to be there to witness what's going on? It's part of building resilience. It's part of showing them, you know, this is what real life is, and preparing them for real life later. My mom and dad do this for a living. They have to deal with people. This is how they communicate with different people. Those are life lessons that you're not going to get from any school or textbook. And it may actually build up skills and set you for a better future in a way.
I feel, Dr. Rajani, there's a fine line between resilience and the inability to cope. You need to know where that boundaries are.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, push the child over the limits and it could become something else.
Absolutely. So this is, you know, if you think about people who are struggling, like you mentioned earlier, struggling to put food on the table. It's survival, isn't it? And, you know, in their minds, homework is probably secondary, and we need to get that food on the table. Hence, we need to earn the money. Now, is that wrong then to then have to subject your child to, you know, doing hard work and working before they're ready for it? Personally, yes, I do feel that that's wrong. But what is that family to do if society is not able to support them, if, you know, the government is not able to give them aid? What are they to do? They still have to survive. So is that wrong then? You know, we can sit up here and judge them. But when you're placed in that situation, you know, I can think of many a time where I'm rushing and I need my kids to help me more than
usual.
And sometimes they moan and groan about it. But if it's not a regular occurrence, I hope that, you know, I'm not abusing them to a certain extent. And I think this comes down to sort of common sense, being sensitive to what your children are capable of doing. You know, child A may be able to do simple chores like cook, clean, but child B may not be able to, then you may want to think about, okay, you're not so good at that, or you're not so keen on it, or you have a fear for that. Why don't we try something else instead? But still making sure that they are part of the household and they have responsibilities.
So that's important to recognize.
Okay,
because we all assume, I'm teaching you, everybody has to learn how to cook.
Well, you know, I'm a mom of three kids, and between my eldest and my second one was more keen to learn to cook. And I would say my eldest child didn't really want to partake in any cooking, but now she's at university and she has to do it. And actually, I'm quite shocked that she's actually producing fairly decent meals as well.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So children surprise you sometimes. But, you know, I think, you know, they start, even though they may not show an interest, but if you expose them to what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, I think they watch and they learn too.
Okay, and of course there's a gender gap. We always assume that the chores will be done by the girls.
Yes.
The boys don't really participate in this. Do you think that's still the case though?
Oh, yes. You know, I thought it was only in my generation, but I see it a lot. You know, let's just start with play. You know, when I see kids and we talk about pretend play, one of the first few things that children play with are dolls, because dolls are sort of a symbol, or symbolizes them to some extent. They do to dolls what we do to them. But boys are never given dolls, are they? And they don't, you know, they're never allowed to play masa-masa. But who do they spend most of their time with? They don't spend their time doing gardening with their daddies usually. They're usually indoors first. And they see their mothers or their helpers or the grandmothers, the female carers, doing all these things. Or even if there are fathers who are stay-at-home fathers, they're the ones doing the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry. But why don't we involve boys in those sort of play activities from a young age? Why do we only buy boys boy toys? You know, so I think that it's got to start from young. And, you know, I think if whatever said and done, if the males in the household don't take on some responsibilities in the home, you will find that your sons won't either, because they'll say, Daddy doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. So why should I? And that gender gap and bias still exists in our Asian community, I think.
I'm very hard on mothers on that. Yeah. I think it's mothers who really should include the boys.
Very much so. From a young age.
Even if, you know, the husbands are not.
Yes.
I think, you know, it's partly our responsibility, yes, to make sure that the boys participate, yes, in and do the chores at home.
Yeah.
Why is it so difficult, though? It's hard for me to say because I don't have a son.
Yeah, same. But I had a brother.
Okay, so now we need to look at our producer here, Xiaoyik, who actually has a son who none of us do.
But, you know, if I think back, we had a helper when we were growing up, and she insisted when we started to go to primary school that we washed our own shoes and polished our own shoes and all that. But she never insisted with my brother. But that was a very traditional view. But I still see that in some households now, you know. And like you say, it's the mothers who are at fault. And, you know, I think we need to change that mindset to some extent.
Okay. And we have a question here from, or not really a question, just a comment from Reza, who's saying he gets his children to help with washing the car. Well done, Reza.
Well done.
I hope the boys are included, yeah, in that.
My husband used to do that with the girls, and they loved that activity, you know, and it was actually bonding time, and got them outdoors as well. And, you know, sometimes chores is also about family time together, you know, especially if you do it together. You know, one person's wiping up, the other one's washing up. It's a time to talk about what's been happening on your day. Yeah. So,
long-term benefits, Dr. Rajini, what are they as they grow up doing chores and being a part of the household? Yeah.
So we talk about, you know, building resilient kids, and we talk about emotional resilience, physical resilience. One of the things that's very important, you know, is making sure that they have good skills to set them for adulthood, adaptive skills. Okay, and I think people are looking more and more at adaptive skills rather than just cognitive learning skills as being important. Are they able to adapt to different situations? Are they able to look after themselves, look after, you know, where they live, etc.? Because quite often, you know, if you're going to be messy at home, to some extent it reflects in terms of work as well. But, you know, I think it sets children up for later life, and, you know, not just in terms of skills of cooking and cleaning, etc., but just being able to organize their time, organize themselves, taking care of what's around them, like the person who left the ice cream tubs out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sense of ownership as well.
Exactly.
That this is my home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a part of it, really. What about non-typically developing children?
Yeah.
How do they benefit from helping with chores?
In the very same way that we say it. And one of the things that I would probably emphasize when I see families with young children with, you know, with disabilities and stuff, is I would say, when we are talking about going for therapy and, you know, picking up motor skills, it starts with the day-to-day things. So more so with children with disabilities, because we quite often think, oh, they're so slow at putting on their clothes, so I'll do it for them. But really, when you think about children with disabilities, we probably need to break down these chores and these self-help skills and be more persistent at wanting to train them for them to develop these skills. Now, for many families, they're not able to afford private therapy in terms of motor skills, etc. How do you develop some of your fine motor and gross motor skills? It's by doing chores, wiping tables, you know, holding a broom with two hands, mm-hmm, and doing the sweeping action. We're not talking about perfecting the skill, but, you know, what can we gain out of it? And again, through chores, because you're doing it every day, children build up their imitation skills. Through chores, children learn to sort of process the whole motor activity. And that sort of is the basis of building cognitive skills as well. You know, we talk about motor planning skills. And And if they can start to do things step by step in sequence, then later thought processes, sequential thoughts, etc., come in as well. And remember, when you do chores, it's about doing it together as much as possible, especially with young children. And through that, you're building language skills as well. And you know, we all have to do housework every day. We all have to, you know, eat every day. And chores don't have to be very complicated. Start with the simple ones first. And like I said, when they're young, when they're in the preschool age, or if their developmental skills are in the preschool age, start with teaching them to look after themselves first before you start to assign chores that involve other people. So start by getting them to take their own plates into the kitchen, putting their own utensils into the kitchen, maybe pouring their own water first, and then start to show them, look, there are other people around you. Why don't we do it for them as well? Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, it builds from there.
Okay. And it sounds like it applies to non-typically developing, yes, and typically developing
very much
children.
So.
Same sort of analogy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But given the generation, yours and my generation, and how we've brought up our children, mm-hmm, is very different from how our parents brought us up. We tend to be reluctant to give our children too much. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you, Dr. Rajni, but I know I'm guilty of it. but that's doing a lot of injustice to our children,
yeah,
to a very large extent.
Yeah.
What's the downside?
The downside is you have a generation of children who think that everything's done for them, who don't really know how to manage themselves, and that will reflect in terms of how they are in the working world as well.
Think of the three tubs of ice cream.
Exactly. Think of the three tubs of ice cream. Or, for example, you know, if you have someone who's not able to manage themselves at home, how are they going to go out to work with peace of mind? You know, I think, you know, chores don't just stop with physical work. Chores also can involve little things like going out to the market and buying things and, you know, doing little things like that, making sure you choose the right apples and not the wrong ones, the rotten ones. You know, it if we don't expose children to that, then yeah, they can. Some of them can learn some of this later on, but it's going to be harder, Meera. And, you know, I really do think that children who learn to manage time adequately from a young age do better when they go out into the working world. If you are so stuck on, you know, I have to finish my homework, I have to go for tuition, and that's all I need to worry on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be harder when you go to work, because when you go to work, it's not just work. You have to think about what you have to do after work. The fact that...
A skill you've never developed.
Exactly, and that you have to maintain your own home, you know. The light bulb's gone, who's going to fix it? No more daddy to climb the ladder. You're going to have to do it yourself. So little things like that, you're going to have to start to learn to do. Now, some people would argue, yeah, they'll learn it when they're older. But I think it's beyond that. Certain skills, yes, you learn. But the sort of skills that people don't really see, time management, social interaction, that negotiation, all those are subtle skills that come along with
It's funny, housework. You call them chores, but they're actually survival skills.
They are. And that's what some people say. You know, the fancy word for it is adaptive skills. And of course, adaptive skills encompasses communication, cognitive skills, etc. But a lot of adaptive skills involves looking after yourself, being able to manage yourself within your own home, within a family unit, within a community setting, etc. You know, if you train your kids to throw away their rubbish at home and not leave bits of tissue lying about, hey, we may have a cleaner city right now, won't we?
True. Absolutely true. We'll come back after the market update and find out, how do you manage a child who doesn't want to help? How do we deal with that child? Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. If you've just joined us, Dr. Rajni Sarvanandan, a consultant developmental pediatrician, in the studio with us. We're discussing the importance of teaching our children how to carry out chores from an early age. Some of the advantages of that, and it's almost coming across as, hey, you know what? you're doing injustice to your child if you don't get them involved in chores, because these are survival skills mm-hmm. later on in life. So if you have a question, you can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Chua has actually WhatsApped him and he's asking, do you think an activity scoreboard towards a reward system could be a good idea for a three-year-old, for an example?
An activity scoreboard mm-hmm. towards a reward, yeah. And you know,
I mean, like sticker charts yeah, and stuff like
yes,
that. Yeah.
Yes, it can be. And, you know, we use that when children are young, basically to motivate them to master a skill and for, you know. But the important thing about that is to make sure that as your child learns that skill, that you fade off the rewards to some extent, because then it needs to be part of their day-to-day life. So, for example, if you're trying to motivate your child to put on their own clothes, okay, and you say, okay, for every time you put on your trousers, you get a silver star, but you get a gold star if you put on your top and your trousers. And, you know, you can do that. And once you see that your child can do it perfectly well, then you can sort of, or it's becoming habitual. So you don't need to remind them, hey, remember that star? Then you want to fade off. Or you can say, okay, you get the star if you do it 2 days in a row or 3 days in a row. And you find that once children sort of pick up that skill and they're doing it independently almost every day, you can actually move on to rewarding a different skill or a different chore that way. However, mm-hmm. always remember that, you know, if this is going to be part of their day-to-day life, now if they can actually physically do that skill, let's take making a bid, and they don't want to make the bid and they're 10 and 11, you don't say, if you make your bed, you get a sticker, and for every two stickers, you get half an hour extra on your iPad, or, you know, this is now your responsibility. And in fact, we say, then you should be using a token system. If you don't do these responsibilities, if you don't take these responsibilities seriously, we need to think about taking away some privileges. Mm-hmm. You know,
like you can get out of the house.
Well, no, let's not go that far.
I know I'm being very, very harsh, but you know
you
what?
Are.
I am all against reward system. Honestly, I monetary rewards especially.
Of course not. And that's a no-no when it comes to chores. And you know, that's what I'm saying. It's fine to motivate them to build that skill if it's something that they really can't work at and you're trying to motivate them to build that skill. But if you're talking about, and we're talking about typically developing children here, if you're talking about children who are school-aged, then, you know, you shouldn't be rewarding them for doing their homework, because that's your responsibility. What you do is you say, okay, you're allowed your TV time today. However, if you've not done your homework, you don't get your TV time. It's removal of what they felt that they were entitled to. So that's removal of privileges in a sense. Of course, you have to look at the level of difficulty as well. So if it's really they're not doing the homework because it's difficult, or they're not doing that chore because you've been unreasonable in setting that chore, you have to rethink the whole thing again and break it down and give them something else.
Okay. I was told, deprive them of what they love. And that always works. See, I'm so harsh like that, but it works. I want gadget time. Deprive them of what they love.
Yeah, so that's removal of privileges. You know, it's a privilege.
I love the way you say removal of privileges, adaptive skills, Dr. Anjali.
These are technical terms. Like I said, they're technical terms that are being coined to make it sound.
Right, exactly what the Nazi mom would say, but in some other words. Okay. All right. So if they refuse to do the chores, what do we do then?
So, okay.
Again, come back to
come back to why they're refusing to do the chore. Again, make sure the chore you've set is age appropriate. Number two, why are they refusing to do the chore? Is it because other people are getting away with not doing the chore? So then you have to look at the bigger picture as well. Number three, is this a protest in that... It's not that they don't want to do the chore, but an attention-seeking behavior, or, you know, especially if they've been doing it and suddenly they don't want to do it. So you have to ask yourself why. Is it because they want you there? You know, it's a way of, I know you've been there all this time supervising them and now you're not there anymore. So look at it from different perspectives before you jump in and start punishing your child. Again, depending on the age. So if it's a young child who's starting to say no, make it fun, make it a game. You know, we do it together. And then again, slowly you fade off. If you're talking about an older child that's refusing to do it, you need to sit down and talk to them. So why now? Why are you refusing to do this chore? Okay, you don't want to wash up the dishes? Let's just let the dishes pile so we don't have clean dishes. Whoever wants a dish, and let's just see whether that works or not, you know. And then we have to also have some basic rules at home, you know. If you want to be here, if you want, you know, your own room, if you want your own gadget time, etc., these, you know, and set up a contract. So sometimes we talk about contracts because, hey, when you're renting a house, what do? You have a contract, don't you? Mm-hmm. You break the contract and there are consequences.
So that means the establishment of these rules have to begin when the children are very young.
Very much so. I mean, if you don't, it gets harder, Mira. And, you know, and trying to be consistent at it. I think generally children will do it if they see that everybody else is also
pitching
doing
in.
It. Yeah, that I think that often is the bottom line.
I found this quite interesting. In 2014, the Spanish Parliament drafted a law that requires children to pitch in with household chores. Mm-hmm. Should we force children to do chores? I mean, this was a draft law. I'm not terribly sure if it actually was passed and actually became law.
It's sad, isn't it, when you have to draft laws? Hey, look at Japan. The kids start doing chores in school from, you know, when they go to primary school. And you know, look at their country.
I mean, we saw the Japanese teams
cleaning
the locker
up.
Room during the World Cup.
Exactly, and cleaning the fans, cleaning up.
They had the cleanest locker room.
Yes.
They left it clean.
And, you know, I've never been to Japan, but people tell me how their train stations are spotless and, you know, and you can see it, you know. They come out and it's not law there, you know, that they have to do chores, but everybody, it's just part of their life. You look at the Singaporeans, the minute they step out of Singapore, they start littering everywhere.
That's because they find them for everything.
Exactly. So that, you know, when you impose laws and fines, that's what happens. You know, they will find
it doesn't become part of life.
Exactly. So I think it, you know, it has to be part of your life and it has to start from young. I remember the days when we were in school and we had a duty roster. Who had to sweep, who had empty the dustbins and all that. And I know with my kids being in primary school, over the years, parents have always made excuses like, my child has asthma, he can't sweep the school floor, you know, he can't sweep. Or, you know, he has eczema, he can't pick up rubbish, etc. To me, that's, again, I'm being professional here, so to me that's not true. And, you know, you take precautions. Okay, maybe he can't sweep, but he can do other things in the classroom. So it's a little bit of give and take. You know, if there are medical conditions, then choose chores that are appropriate. So I think, you know, we shouldn't make excuses. We shouldn't have to draft laws. I think we should make it part of life. And really, I do feel if it starts at home, we then develop children who then are, you know, this is part of their life. It's their habits. And when they go out of the house into the community, they carry those good habits with them.
I mean, it was part of life back in the day. It seems to be getting less going forward. I mean, do you see it getting worse? It's come with affluence, obviously.
It does. It has. And I think, you know, with families getting busier and spending less time at home, I don't know, maybe they have less chores to do because they don't cook at home, there's less cleaning, but there's still things to do in the house. I think you can still do it.
Like make your own bed.
Yes.
Okay. So apart from chores, what else would help teach children values like responsibility, you know, survival skills?
I think once they go into schools, getting them to do some of these chores in school, you know, things like even in preschool, cleaning up toys, putting things away, pushing their chairs in, you know, making sure that, you know, you've left the place as you've come to it in the mornings, and building these habits, and it should carry through right through to primary school, secondary school. You know, school's your second home, isn't it? You spend quite a number of hours in school as well. And I think I hope teachers have more time now to nurture kids to do things like that, and even to go around the school, pick up rubbish, do community service, not just part of, you know, picking up rubbish in the community because you have to fulfill 10 hours of community service to get your community badge or your Girl Guide badge or your Scout badge. But this is now a routine in schools that, like the Japanese kids do.
Okay. Do we know what the Japanese have done well?
I think, you know, if you look at their schools, the kids partake in even lunchtime and things like that. And you see it in the communities. And I think what they've done well is everybody does it. Every child does it. Every teacher, etc. It's a community activity. And it's not seen as a homework or,
extracurricular activity.
Mm. It's just part of the school routine.
Okay. Your message on children and chores?
Get them involved and do it together. I think, you know, we spend so little time together as families now with our busy lives. Doing chores together, finding that half an hour in the evenings to do things together, you know, it's not just teachers, children responsibility, but it's also bonding time and working together as a family unit as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. Dr. Rajini Saranandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, talking to us about children and chores on The Big Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.